Sometimes, when you look at a story in the Torah, the part of the story that you think should be central is not. And the Torah gives significantly more space in the story to the parts of the story that you would think are ancillary. And it's quite instructive to think about why. And a good example appears in this week's parasha. In Bamidbar Perek Lamed Aleph, we hear about the war with Midian. Now, if you would ask the average person, they would say that the war against Midian is a more significant event. It was vengeance for the spiritual crime that was committed by Midian against the Jewish people. Bilam is killed. There's a tremendous amount of drama in that story. And one would think that should be more central than the division of the spoils. And yet, if you look at the Perek, the first 18 psukim discuss the war, Moshe's directions for battles, the taking of spoils, Moshe's critique of how the war was handled. Because in the first round, they didn't kill the women despite the fact that they were central to the crime. The new instructions of how to make up for the mistakes in the first foray into the battle. All of that takes place in 18 psukim. The next 6 psukim discuss how the people would become pure, and according to Chazal, how the kelim would be purified through tefillah. Though there are midrashim that argue that those were being purified from tumat meat as well. And this unit does not talk about tefillah, but the Gemara assumes that it's tefillah kelim. However, the majority of the perek, significantly longer than these units, from Pasuk Kofei to Pasuk Nun Dalid, deals with the division of spoils between the soldiers and the non-combatants, where it was divided 50-50 between them, and then the exact details of how much each side got, and then the instructions for the donations that had to come from the portion that the soldiers and non-combatants got. 1/50th was given by the non-combatants and 1/500th by the combatants, and the details of how many animals and the like were given by each of these two groups. Now, you could just say that these details take up a lot of space, and it's not pointing to something central thematically. But I think that if, in fact, the Torah devotes significantly more space to the division of spoils than it does to the war, the messages that emerge from that unit must be central to understanding the story as a whole. And I think there are several mefarshim that you can put together that will, in fact, develop such a theory. The Svarno suggests that what we learn from the fact that these spoils were divided between the combatants and non-combatants, between those who were actually soldiers in the war and those who were not, is that despite the fact that 12,000 people may have represented the Jews in war, the war was on behalf of the entire Jewish people because it was a response to the crime committed against the entire Jewish people. And therefore, based on the Pasuk in Devarim, Paraklav, Pasuk Yudalid, the bracha of God that you'll be able to defeat your enemies and divide up the spoils had to apply not just to the soldiers, but to all of Klal Yisrael. Now, while the Svarno makes this as almost a technical point, I think what emerges from this is that the first lesson is the very fact that the spoils were divided between the combatants and the non-combatants is there to emphasize that what gives the war its justification and its meaning is the rationale, is the why, is the reason that the Jews went to war. And what the Svarno is telling you is that had only the soldiers been given the spoils, you might have thought that this was war for war's sake, and therefore those who proved their bravery, so they only the only ones who get to take the spoils. There might have been a certain personal gain that was implied. But by dividing the spoils up amongst the entire Jewish people, it drives the point home that even if only 12,000 people fought, you constantly have to remember that the justification for the war was national. And therefore, in order to get that point across, the soldiers had to give the spoils to the rest of the Jewish people to remind themselves and everyone why they fought in the first place. That this was a national effort in response to a national goal of responding to the spiritual crime against the Jewish people. So that's, I think, lesson one. Now, the Abarbanel notes that the soldiers got significantly more, not just because there were less of them. But he said there's two things that are happening here. One is that the 12,000 soldiers got as much between them as the rest of the nation got combined. So obviously they get significantly more. And the second is that they only have to give 1/500th rather than 1/50th of their spoils. And he asks why they would get so much more, both in terms of what they got and being required to give less. Furthermore, he notes that it seems that the Kohanim were the address for the donations of the soldiers, because it went to Eleazar Kohen, while when it comes to the rest of Klal Yisrael, the Levim got their donations. Now the Abarbanel suggests that the key to understanding the donation is perhaps that the Jews gave the portion to the Levim out of respect for the protection of the Mishkan, but the soldiers were dedicating the money as a appreciation for God for his aid in the war because they survived. And then the Abarbanel says that perhaps the reason that goes to the Kohanim is because really the right person to give that gift to would have been Pinchas, because Pinchas was both the Kohen, the representative of God, and the one who led them to war, and had started the entire effort by killing Zimri, which was the spiritual beginning of this battle. And therefore, Pinchas really should have been the representative of God to get the portion on behalf of the soldiers. But he gave it up to Eleazar, his father, and that's how it got there. And using that, he explains that since one donation, that of the soldiers, went to the Kohanim, and the other went to the Levim, and in general, the Levim give 1/10 of their maaser to the Kohen, so if anything that was going to the Levim, the Kohanim get 1/10 of that, and therefore if the Levim were going to get 1/50th of the spoils, then the Kohanim get 1/500th. Now this explains perhaps the numbers, but it doesn't really get at the core of why it was that they had to give less, because as the Abarbanel notes, between getting more and giving away less, they really got significantly more. So here I think we have to look at two more ideas. The Ramban doesn't explain the details, but he makes a general point, which is that the reason that some of the money had to be donated was to remind the Jewish people that they were fighting Nikmat Hashem. They were fighting because the crime was spiritual and it was therefore against God, and they represent God, but it wasn't personal. And therefore, to make sure that they understood that, they had to donate some of the money back to the representatives of God. The Chizkuni comments only on the question of why the soldiers got more than the regular non-combatants and the Jewish people. And he says the reason is very simple, is that because we recognize that even if the war is on behalf of the entirety of the Jewish people, we have to appreciate the effort of those who actually risked their lives, and therefore they deserve to get more. But I think if you take the Svarno and the Ramban and the Chizkuni together, perhaps then we can really understand why the Torah gives so much space to the division of the spoils. Because the Svarno and the Ramban both get at how one divides the spoils is critical to conceptualizing and understanding the purpose of the war. For the Svarno, the fact that we divide the spoils between the Jewish people who went to war and those who did not is critical to teach everyone that the battle is on behalf of the Jewish people. The Ramban adds that you have to donate some of that money in order to remember that it's not even just national. It's not that it's not personal, but it is national. It's not even really national. It's national because of our divine mission, and really we're standing for God. And those two messages come out from the fact that we divide the spoils between those who fought and those who did not, and that we give some of it back to God. But I think the Chizkuni adds a corrective, because taken together, you might have said, okay, well then don't recognize the soldiers' effort at all. Just say, look, this is on behalf of the Jewish people, it's on behalf of God, who cares who fights? Don't take any recognition, don't give any more of the spoils to the people who actually fought, because that would be implying that it's personal or something of the sort. But the Chizkuni tells you, no, it may be true that everyone gets something, because that reminds us on behalf of the nation. It may be true that you have to donate some back to God. But just because there are these lofty ideas inherent in the division, doesn't mean that we can then overlook the real contribution and sacrifices of human beings. And that seems to be the corrective. That everyone gets something to remember it's a national effort. Some of it has to be donated back to God to remind us that we're fighting for our spiritual identity. But despite that, we can't overlook the human element and recognize that, yes, the people who actually put their lives on the line, they do deserve to be recognized for their effort and be appreciated, because that's also a spiritual value. And I think these three lessons at least begin the process of understanding why it is the division of spoils and the exact details are so critical, because at the end of the day, they capture the message of why we went to war and how we're supposed to respond and appreciate the entire episode.